quite fit for him. Now he says he didn't mean to say what he said. These athletes, like, you know, it's a difficult time in the social media world because everything gets dissected 100% of the time.
It does, and it's part of the landscape, Struds. You know, we know it as media. You knew it as a player, too. I mean, you know, Twitter was kind of a thing when you were still going, but it's blown up into a big thing. And, you know, it sounds like somebody had a little discussion with him, too, perhaps, and that led him to kind of backtracking a little bit. And it'll probably, you know, rub some people the wrong way and ruffle some feathers. But if the team wins and he plays well, it'll be water under the bridge. I think that's ultimately how these things work out. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. And, two, there can also be, like you said, guys just trying to say something to say something or getting caught saying something candidly. And it can be construed a million different ways or something gets lost in translation. So, yeah, I mean, at least he was quick to rescind that statement or apologize for it, and we'll see what the relationship is like going forward.
Big news, you know, with college athletes being able to use their likeness to create some endorsement deals, and the Florida Panthers have signed a quarterback, Miami quarterback Derek King. What does this mean as far as your thoughts on the nil deals, and then these an NHL team using a big profile NHL quarterback to help create contact to drive new fans to their games?
Yeah, well, the Florida Panthers, they need it. They need to get attention, and this is one way to do it. They're the first major pro sports team in North America to sign a NCAA player to one of these, yeah, the nil deals, the NIL deals, and I'm curious to see how it goes, Strutty, really. I mean, let's see how Derek King represents them, what he does on social media. I mean, he doesn't have a huge social media following, but, you know, he's a big name, up-and-coming star athlete at University of Miami. And so maybe their working hand-in-hand can benefit one another. Obviously, it's a nice change of pace to see these college athletes being able to make some money, and the NCAA finally recognizing and allowing that. And here we go, a hockey team in the Florida Panthers trying to take advantage of that. And in one way, they're helping out this athlete. And in another way, he could help them out, make the team more popular in Southern Florida because, you know, they do have a good team, first of all. That's another good thing, is that the Panthers do have a good, exciting team, and they want people to know that. So cross-promotion, let's see how it works out. Hockey and college football, especially in the South, maybe this is a good idea and a different approach to getting butts in the seats, because that's a massive building just outside of Miami and Sunrise there. And I know they like winning teams down there, but it's still not full every night. So interesting to see, Struts, and the Panthers to be kind of on the leading edge of all of this.
When you look at, I was joined by Tom Gazzola for the Gazzola Chronicles. Brendan Perlini, do you think there's any opportunity for him with the Edmonton Oilers to play over 9.5 games next year?
9.5? I'll take the under on that one, Strutty. A couple of years ago, I would have taken the over. When he was in Arizona, I really liked him. I thought there was a good player there, but obviously it hasn't really worked out in the last couple of years. I know he played last year in Europe, but this is a big body guy. This is a guy with wheels and decent hands, but it never seemed to click in the NHL. And you know, sometimes timing is everything, and unfortunately there's now a lot of forwards that the Oilers do have, but maybe if injuries occur, he has just an unbelievable camp, he tries to wrangle a spot away from someone, but I don't think he's high up there on the pecking order. But if something does happen, here's a guy that they could call up that they could probably rely on and might surprise some people. So yeah, if this was a couple of years ago, Struds, I would have been like, this might be a sneaky good signing. And now it looks like a sneaky good depth signing, but time will tell. I'm guessing he's going to be in Bakersfield, but I could be totally wrong.
You know, early in the show, I was talking about how a player that is, you know, trying to make a team like a Tyler Benson or in Perlini, that, you know, maybe they're not a favorite. They have to step up and somehow make an impression, right? That can be through any number of ways, about being in great shape or, you know, in a scrimmage, blocking a shot or winning a puck battle, whatever that may be. In your time covering the Oilers, do you remember a player that was able to step up and to just grab attention when really they maybe had no business or no reason to get that attention?
Well, a guy that kind of I was always surprised with, and when he played up here, when he finally did get the call, was Teemu Hartikainen. Like, okay. I didn't mind Teemu Hartikainen, and he was always kind of on the cusp of making the team, and he would be one of Oklahoma's better players. He was a young, strong, up-and-coming Finn, could score goals around the net, and then he got a look a few times in Edmonton, but it never worked out, and they traded his rights to the Leafs. And that was basically the end of his run in the National Hockey League. But that's a guy that I remember didn't have a ton of fanfare, but people were intrigued by what he brought to the table. Size, strength, and durability, and a little bit of touch around the net. And he's a guy that kind of took hold of that opportunity when he got it. But I don't think he was very much in the plans of the team in the long run. And they were obviously willing to trade him and part ways with him too.
I'll throw a guy out there too. One of my favorite redheads I know, Liam Reddix.
Oh yeah,
he came in and played 100 NHL games, and then he went over to Europe and had a great run with Vaxo in the Swedish league. And I think they actually won a championship. But like, there's a guy that he had to work so hard for everything he got, and you could say, okay, maybe he shouldn't have been NHLer, but you know what? He played 100 games because he laid on the line every day. And, mm-hmm. That I respect guys like that because that's how sometimes you have to find your way to the NHL, big guy.
You know who else did that? Chris Vandevelde.
Yeah, there you go.
He toiled for years in OKC, and then he got a few games, and then he played in Philly for a bunch of years. So you're right. Like, it didn't last a long time, but there's another one. Vandevelde. Liam Reddix is a good one. I remember talking to him. He was an interesting guy. He had no qualms sharing his opinion about where he felt he was in the pecking order, which I always appreciated.
Yeah, he was a great guy. I love that guy. He was absolutely, such an absolute beauty. Now, we've had a lot of texts come in here, and just going back to, some of these ideas with the Oilers. When you look at the defense, and then this one comes in from Tyler. Hey, Strutty, can you ask Tommy, in your collective opinion, you and Tommy, is the defense as a whole better than last year? From Tyler in the Park. What say you?
I give it a reluctant yes, but I say it thinking, okay, prove it. When the going gets tough, especially when during the first part of the season when the team's trying to figure each other out, get a feel for one another on the back end, new pairs and all that, prove it. On paper, it seems like they probably are strutty, but I still kind of have this air of I need to see them prove it, and I don't know if I even believe myself at this point. I could be totally wrong. Where are you at with that?
Well, the Larson thing's a big issue, right? Like that mm-hmm. that changes things a ton. And I think that's that. I it's funny how a player goes being traded for Taylor Hall to now people are really upset when he's leaving. But I think he really can. He really can be he has such an impact on the game. Now, not sexy. No one's watching his highlights. But I think fans that appreciate the type of game really appreciate him. I think what he brings in. So now you're asking CeCe to take something of that pressure off. Cheaper player, but still, that's a tall order for him. But Bouchard, I think that the possibility of Bouchard and some people in the organization think he could be in the top four by the new year. And if that is a possibility, then that makes a big deal. Then you look at, Rusty, you know what you're getting. I think Keith, I think he'll be better than people are expecting. And he's going to compete, and he's going to make his plays, and maybe give a little bit of swagger to that back end. Nurse, I think we know we're getting, and then Barry, I think it's pretty clear we're getting. So, the two wild cards for me are CeCe and Bouchard, because Bouchard can have such an impact on this group if he's able to move up into the top four because of his play. Whew, that really changed things, because now you've got another tall guy that can. He is. I'm fans, listen to me. He is the best passing defenseman the Oilers have. Better than Barry.
It's going to be interesting to watch him develop and see how quickly he gets that swagger or finds his groove being an everyday guy. And then I like that you brought up CeCe, because I'm trying to, in my mind, understand or place the type of defenseman he is. Like, is he offensive? Can he play strong defensively? Does he break up cycles? Can he go down and block a ton of shots? That's something that I need to get a good picture of from watching him in person and maybe getting a real up close look when we get to training camp in mid-September. That's one where I'm kind of like, okay, that's a question mark for me. I can watch his highlights, but I want to see him in the defensive zone, the little things, the things that you don't really see in the highlight packages of a certain player. And I'm curious, does he have an idea of what type of defenseman he's going to be for this team? Is that clear cut, or is that something that's going to be kind of molded as we go along? It's interesting, but the stuff that he brings to the table, I think, is tantalizing. Size, he can move, he could put up numbers, but can he play defense? And especially on that right side with a young guy like Bouchard and then a guy like Barry, who doesn't get high marks for his defensive game, although he tries hard defensively, it could either tilt it in favor of the Oilers having a good defensive group or make them porous on the right side specifically.
Today, Team Canada announces who their coach will be, you know, highlighted by Johnny Cooper out of Tampa Bay, and you know, Trotz and Cassidy, and Pete DeBoer as assistant coaches. You know, there's no definite answer yet. Or are they going? Are they not going? NHLers, yes or no? But it just kind of feels like that thing where, you know, you're kind of at a party and like, okay, I think I'm having a good time. Is this going to get shot down? Are we having a good time? Like, is this happening? Are we really doing this tonight? Like, I don't really know what to think. Like, it feels like everything keeps moving that direction. But then you hear kind of Gary Bettman maybe not throw cold water on, but not be really, you know, super hot and heavy about it happening. So where do you come in as far as reading tea leaves with, is this going to happen? That is the NHL going to this the Olympics?
Yeah, that's funny. I think probably Bettman, the way he does it, he's probably posturing with the IIHF and the IOC a little bit by not committing and saying, yeah, we're going. I think the indicators are there. You're seeing all these hockey organizations, the Canadian, you know, Hockey Canada and USA Hockey, and they're all declaring their coaching staffs and their entire staffs. Like, I think there was like 15 names announced in that press release today for Hockey Canada. Like, they've got everybody in place. So it seems like it's going to happen, Strutty, and the NHL building in that two-week window in the schedule is kind of an indicator as well. But I think they will end up going. I do. The players really want it. The ones that wanted to go 4 years ago or 3 years ago probably really want it, and they probably feel scorned from not going. And so I figure they'll get to a point where they can actually make it happen and turn it into a successful night at a party, if you know what I'm saying. Yes, I think it'll happen.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, people are so excited to think about the MacKinnon and McDavid duo. I mean, it is kind of crazy. I would hate to be a defenseman. I think I've just changed, but I think there is a lot of people that want to see that. So, you know, it's a little bit different than NBA though, because the NBA's time, like we just saw, is out of competition, right? They don't have to shut anything down. Their players might get a little tired, but it's not the same. Like in season, when they're tired, going over there with the risk of injury, then coming back again, like it, I see the NHL's, you know, hesitancy. Like I'm not surprised by it.
Yeah. No, me neither. I mean, and it's, they've been through this dance many times before. They've gone, they've sacrificed, if you will, to go to the Torinos and all that, over to Sochi, where it's not necessarily the easiest adjustment, and then you got going from NHL to Olympic hockey, the time change, all of that, and then bouncing back over to the NHL right away. So I get it, and I think that's why too they're playing hardball, and the NHL isn't just giving in, and they want to get more out of this deal to go to the Olympics. But to me, it just feels like, yeah, Gary Bettman's playing a little bit of hardball, and that's why we're hearing his comments publicly. But still, I feel like they'll probably get what they want and go.
Tommy, thanks a lot for this. We'll check in with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Strutty. Have a good one.